Hereafter, Perek Lamed Pasuk Chof Aleph. V'yaznecha tishmana davar me'acharecha, continuing the miracle full of Sancheriv. At this point in time, you'll hear, before that point in time, when Bnei Yisrael, when they will do tshuva, and they will come close to Hashem through Yishayahu and through Chizkiyahu, then they will come to a point where they will be receptive to listen to the words of Musar, to the words of Nevi'im. V'yaznecha tishman will come to a point in time when your ears will hear davar me'acharecha, a word from behind you, leimor, saying, Zeh haderech luchu, this is the proper path on which you should go. Ki saminu l'chi sasmi'ilu. Whether you go right or left. Whether you want to be more...
Like Abraham Levine said to love.
If you go to the side, think of that. That's very interesting, right? When you go right or left, it's very interesting. No, any path, any derech, any event that you wish to do in your life, you will always seek guidance from the Navi. Everything will be according to the hashkafa of the Torah, the hashkafa of the Nevi'im, and that's what the pasuk here says. That you and what it says, your ears will listen. In other words, during the times when the Bnei Yisrael were not listening, we're not following the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Nevi'im were still telling them what to do. It's just that they were deaf. We have that many times in Yeshayahu where Hashem says that you don't want to listen, you're not interested, you have closed your ears, they're sealed. Now when you've come to a state where you are doing tshuva, you will actually listen. Your ears will listen the word of Hashem, and you will follow the advice of the Nevi'im. And if you want to go to the left, or you want to go to the right, wherever you want to go, any derech, any direction you wish to take in life, it will be with the guidance of the Nevi'im. Pasuk Chavez, at this point in time, v'tineisem es sipui pesilei kaspech. At this point in time, you will contaminate the idols. And the way we describe the articles is they were covered with silver. You'll view the idols as contaminated. Tzipu, the covering, pisilei kaspecha, the idols that have been covered with silver. V'yes afudas masechas zehovecha. It appears that the idols were girded with belts of gold. Okay, we are not experts in idolatry, Baruch Hashem, but that was the technique. The idols were made from wood or porcelain or metal, some material. They were covered with silver and dressed with a gold belt. It's a fascinating insight into what the idols look like in these ancient times. Why is the belt gold and the idol itself made from silver? It's not clear. I'm sure there is some significance. But at this point in time, you will contaminate the silver covering of the pesel, of the image, and the afudas means the belt.
Ephod,
right, ephod is the belt. Afudas ma'secha zehavecha, the belt that girds, that's made from silver, which covers the part of the idol. Let's look at the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says, Ratzu Leimar, Deinechem yihye tomei tzipui pesile hakesef v'chaguras ma'secha zehav. And the belt that covers, ma'secha means to cover the idol, which is made from gold. Further, the pasuk says, "Tizrein kumo dava." You will get rid of them. You will send away the idols. You will remove them, like kumo dava, like a woman who is a nida kama. Say toima lo. You will say to the idol, "Get out, leave. You have no place in the Beis Hamidrash. You have no place in Klal Yisrael. We only serve Hashem. We do not serve idols." The word dava means a nida. Kain tikur hanid look in Suda Sion, Kain tikur hanid kumashamar kime nidas divosa. Like her flow, her nida flow, she is a woman who is contaminated. Now this is very interesting where I want to speak about this a little bit later on. In the parasha shir, the word dova this week we know is Lag BaOmer. And Lag BaOmer, those who Nusuk Svar, or if you're into in Yoni Kabbalah, you know that there are seven spheros, there are seven, they all different teferes. Netzach, Hod, Malchus, Yisod, so on and so forth, and we go through the entire pattern through the 49 days of the Sfira, and Lag BaOmer is the day of Hod Shebahod. What exactly is Hod? I have no idea what all of these mystical expressions, Malchus, Yesod, Netzach Shebenetzach, day 25, it was yes, 2 days ago. Netzach was Netzach Shebenetzach. What's today? Yesod Shebenetzach. Okay, what these things mean, I have no idea.
Yesod is the sixth, Netzach is the fourth.
But one thing I did take note, I saw this in, I think, in Emunah Sitecha by Rabbi Wolfson, Shlita, that Dava, the word Dava, are the same letters as Hod, backwards. Hey, the Hod is Hey Vav Dalid. Dava is the same, backwards. So Dava, Hod, relates to the idea to descend into the depths of Tumah and to retract and to extract sparks of holiness. That is the beauty of Hod. Hod is translated as beauty. Hod for Hodar Lavashta. Majesty, beauty, splendor, something along the lines of something beautiful. Okay, beauty, that's not the same thing of Malchus. Malchus is kingship. That's an entirely different concept. Yesod is a foundation. It doesn't mean beauty. Okay, Tiferes is splendor. Okay, so Tiferes somehow relates to Hod. I don't know the difference. But Hod appears to relate to the idea of descending into an area that we would assume is Tomei and extracting sparks of holiness that need Tikkun. And that's why this word Dava and Hod go together. Dava represents contamination, a very severe form of contamination. A woman who is in Nida is an Av HaTumah. She has to be removed. In ancient times, when a woman was in Nida, she did not even live at home. She lived in a separate apartment because they lived al taras hakodesh. Food was tahar. A woman who was in Nida come in contact with food or even the utensils in the home would contaminate. So when a woman was in Nida, she lived in a different apartment. So it's hard for us to wrap our minds around such a concept in today's times, but that's appears how it was. It's a severe form of tumah. Hod is to extract the kedusha that lies even in that state of tumah. So here, I want to just point that out for now because we'll come to it a little bit later on also in this parak because it's a little play on the words. Here he describes kemo dava tsei tumah lo. And later in this parak, when we describe the positive points of positive elements at this point in time, it's going to say hod. Now it's a time of Hod. So there is, it does appear to be, with this drash, some play on the word here, Dava with Hod, even in this parak itself, in this nevuah. But here, you're going to say to the idols, Kemo Dava, they'll be viewed as something which is contaminated, like a Nida. Say, Tamalo, you will say to the idols, leave. We all know very well that in the time of the Nevi'im, this was one of the major problems, the worship of idols, idolatry in Sefer Melachim. I mean, it's non-stop of they worship this all, that all, Molech, the Baal, and so on and so forth. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Now let have a Zohar. So that's what at this point in time they will reject Avodah Zarah. Pasuk Chav Gimel Benasan Mitar Zaracha. What is the reward for rejecting Avodah Zarah? The reward is Parnasa. Hashem will give you Mitar, the rain Zaracha of your seed, Hashar Tishra Eswadama, this which you seed upon the earth, the Lechem Tvua Swadama, and the bread, which is the produce of the earth, v'hoya doshen v'shemim, it will be fat. Two different expressions of fatness. Yire miknecha, your cattle will pasture. Bayomahu, on that day, kar nirchav, kar means sheep. Karim are sheep, nirchav means why? The sheep will be fat, because there will be much produce, much grain for them to pasture, much grass, much vegetation for them to pasture upon, and the sheep will become fat because they have a lot what to eat, and that of course will be a blessing. They'll be worth more, and when you slaughter them and eat them, you'll have meat that's full of cholesterol and is poisonous. It'll be good at least for the doctors. For you, I don't know, but there will be a benefit for society in the kar nirchav. Now, by the way, this is also very interesting. This parallels what we learn. We say every single day twice in Kriyashma. Kriyashma, what is Kriyashma? V'hoya im Shemaya tishmu el mitzvah saya shemach mitzvah veschem hayom le'ahavos shemach kechem ule'ovdo b'chol levav v'chol nafshchem v'inosati mitar artzchem b'yito yirei malkosh v'yosav degonecha v'siroshcha v'yitzarecha. And then it goes on to say v'hoya if you're not going to listen to the words of Kodesh Baruch Hu, then I will deny, I will prevent, no, there will no longer be rain and the earth will not produce produce and vavadetem heira me'al aretz hatova asher Hashem lekech nasim lechem. So we have that same parallel in the Torah. It's clear that the blessing of parnasa of matar aretzichem and the absence of matar all depends on serving Hashem and not serving idols. It's explicit in the second parasha of Kriyashma, and that's exactly what is he Silvia Yeshayi is really. He's saying the same thing Moshe told us. He's saying if you're going to tell the Avodah Zarah, you're going to give the Avodah Zarah's tummy, and you're going to reject it, and you're going to tell the Avodah Zarah to say leave, then you will merit mitar zaracha. But if you don't, then that's that, and it's obviously the implication is if you're not going to serve the Shbaruch Hu, then it's not, and you're going to worship the idols, then you're not going to merit the blessing of Motar and the blessing of Doshen Vishamim Yirei Miknecha Beyimuchu Karnirchav Pasik Chav Dalit Veho Alofim Veho Ayorim. This part of the blessing, what are Alofim? Alofim are oxen. And we say Shigar Alofecha. The discharge, Shgar means the discharge of Alofech. Alofech means your oxen. Your animals will produce, will be fruitful. So we refer specifically to a shar, the shar family, Virho Ayarim, donkeys. An ayar, we learned, is a young donkey. Oivdei ho adama, donkeys and oxen are things which serve the earth. They plow. They are used to cultivate the earth. Belil chomitz yoichel. This is a complex expression, belil chomitz. I'm going to learn the Radak. Radak very simply translates the word belil to refer to straw. What do animals eat? Fodder. They eat straw. And there's a pasuk in the Eiv which clearly indicates that the word belil refers to mispo. Mispo means straw, means animal food. Chomitz. Chomitz in this context is a bit difficult, and the Radak explains it means clean. It means pure. They will eat clean and pure animal fodder, high quality animal food. You only have the luxury of feeding your animals high quality food only if you are a very wealthy, affluent society. A poor society doesn't even have quality food for people, let alone for animals. But you'll have such enormous bracha, you'll give the animals, like you hear all these commercials on the radio and so on and so forth about going and buying for your dog all the different dogs and cats. The highest quality food. People buy better food for their animals, their pets, and they buy for themselves. So here it says you will merit that not only will you have for yourself in the previous pasuk all of this blessing, you'll have the lechem to us for adama. You'll also have for your animals high quality food, belil chametz, mispo that is pure, clean yachelu, asher, just like you have good food for yourself, asher zore vorachas uvamizra. Now, rachas and mizra are tools which are used for winnowing. When after you thresh the grain, you separate the kernel from the chaff, you have to throw the mixture in the wind, and the wind blows away the chaff and leaves you with the kernel. The tool that is used to winnow, to throw the grain into the wind, is called a rachas. A mizre is also, it's not exactly clear the difference between a rachas and a mizre. There are different interpretations, but for our purposes, it's basically the same thing, as we have very often repetition. These are two tools, one may be smaller, one is larger, or one has multiple purposes. In addition to being used to throw the grain into the wind, it was also used to dig and to soften the earth, but when it was also used to throw the grain into the wind. Two tools which are the same thing, asher zoreh varachas uvamizra, just like, this is where the Radak learns the pasuk, just like a person, when it comes to himself, when it comes to his food, he likes only the grain. He does not want whole wheat. I mean, some people want whole wheat, they believe it's healthy, so on and so forth, but generally speaking, people like pure, clean flour, naki. They remove the chaff, and the way they remove the chaff is they throw the wind, they throw it into the wind using the tool called the rachas and the mizra. You will do the same for your animals. you will sift and winnow the animal fodder to make sure you only feed your animal the highest quality food, so that your animal should be healthy. And if the animals are healthy, they will cultivate the earth in a superior way, and the animals which you slaughter and eat will be healthy animals, and you will derive more benefit.
Rachas would seem to be related to ruach.
Wind. Okay, very good. And Mizra Lazore, same thing. Mizra Zayin and the Resh. Winnowing. So these are two different tools which are used for the winnowing process. Pasuk Chafei, V'hoya Al Kol Har Gavah, on every high mountain, V'al Kol Givah Nisa, on every hill that is elevated, Pilogim Yivlei Moyim. Pilogim and Yivlei Moyim are the same thing. Again, we have a repetition. It means streams. Like polag. Polag means to
palgimayim.
That's what it says. Palgimayim is to separate. Palgikam lapeleg is to divide. When a river breaks off into small streams, and yivlei mayim is the same exact thing. It means also streams. Two words mean the same thing. There will be an abundance of water. This, of course, is the most important thing. If there is no water, then there is nothing. B'yom, when will this occur? When will there be this great blessing of streams of water? B'yom hereg rav, the day of the great slaughter. B'nfol migdalim, when the towers fall, a metaphor for Ashur, Sancheriv, the army, 185,000 generals, when they are suddenly killed, when they are killed by the Malach, there will be enormous blessing for the Jewish people, and that's referred to with the Pilogim Yivlei Moyim, the streams of water which will flow and bring blessing. Now, of course, in this context, we can easily say that Hoy Kol Tzomei L'chul Mayim, every time it says in Chazal, in the Nevi'im, Mayim, it's a reference to Torah, Hoy Kol Tzomei L'chul Mayim, and we are very well aware that the reason why the Jewish people merited the miracle of full of Sancheriv was because of the schus of Torah, limud haTorah. So there will be an enormous shefa of limud haTorah at this point in time, and that's what it alludes to here. There will be pelagim yivlei mayim at the time of, in the schus of pelagim yivlei mayim, the harbatzas haTorah. That will be a schus. Why they will merit b'yom hereg rav? There will be a great slaughter. They will all die b'nfol migdalim, when these mighty towers, Sancheriv and his mighty army, and the structures that they built around Yerushalayim to use as staging posts in the siege will come down, crashing down. And at this point in time, what's going to happen? This is a very famous passage. We say this in Kish Levana. V'hoya on this day, or halavana, the light of the levana will be ki'or hachama. The light of the Levana will be like the light of the sun. The or hachama, and the light of the sun will be yiyesh shiv osayim. And what does it mean, shiv osayim? So some say it means seven times what it is today, or some say it means seven times seven, 49, like the sphere. Different translations, different ways to interpret an unusual word, shiv osayim. It'll be 49 times the koyach it is today, 7 times 7, or 7 times what it is today. Ki or, the 7 shivasayim, ki or shivasayamim, like the or that was created during the 7 days of creation. When will this occur? Biyom, this will occur biyom on the day chavosh Hashem. Chavosh means to apply a bandage. It's to take a piece of material and wrap a wound. Exclusive word for applying a bandage. Biyom chavosh Hashem es shever amo. The brokenness, the break of his nation. B'nai Yisrael and Golus are broken. They're broken, they're sick, they need to be repaired. They need to be bandaged. And this will happen on that day. U'machatz makaso. Machatz means the bruise. The bruise makaso of their wound, yirpeh, it will be healed. On the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He will bandage our broken bones and will heal the wound the bruise of our wounds. That is the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause the light of the Levana, as we know it today, to be equal to the light of the sun as we know it today. And the light of the sun will be multiplied 7 times. 7 times, either 7 times 7 or 7 times what it is today. Equivalent to, now it's a little bit not clear what it means, Ka'ar Shivas Hayamim. I believe from memory that what it means even more than 7 times. It means 7 times 7 times 7.
That's what Rashi says.
Because Or Hayamim, what is Or Hayamim? Seven. What is seven? Because it says here the 7 days of Maaseh Bereishis. So combine the seven, the Or of 7 days. That's already seven, and intensify. Take the light of 7 days together, bring it into one, then multiply it by seven, and multiply that by seven. So that's what Rashi says. Shivasayim sheva shviyos keor shel shiva sayamim. Harei arbon v'teisha shviyos ha'olam l'shalosh meos v'arbon v'shloisha to a total of 343. 343, that is what the light of the sun will be equivalent to at the time of the Geula. Now obviously, and the moon, today the moon only reflects the light of the sun, but it appears from this pasuk that at that point when the Shparku is going to give the moon its own source of light. Now we know that this means that the world will come to its ultimate tikkun, because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, we have Chazal tell us, it's not clear exactly what this means, is that originally the sun and the moon were the Shnei HaMa'oros HaGedolim. It says in the beginning of Parashas Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally created two great lights. And then the moon complained to Hashem, Ein Shnei Melachim Meshamshim Mekeserecha, two kings cannot share one crown. So Hashem said, L'chi ma'ati atzmech, you have to, if that's the case, you moon diminish yourself. And that's in Tevet Tmina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away from the moon its source of light. It now will only be a, it will only reflect the light of the sun. So at this point in time, at the time of the light of the moon will be restored to its original state. But the sun, on the other hand, will be increased, will have its, have a intensification, 7 times 7 times 7, 343. That is what it's saying. It's a little bit midrashic. Obviously, we don't understand what this means. Hard to understand. According to the Radak takes the pasuk in a very little sense. And he says something very simple that we are very well aware that Golus throughout Chazal is described as darkness. Geula is described with the metaphor of light. La Yehudim hoysa oira simcha v'sasan v'ikar. What does it mean, oira? Oira means light. When a person is in a time of tzara, it's dark. We all understand what that means. And when the geula comes, a person's lichtik. Ah, you're able now to have a. You're enlightened. You can look out into the world. You can see things differently. Your mind is not clouded with the difficulty of the tzara. So what it means here is that the geula, the salvation that will occur at this point in time with the fall of Sanhedrin, is so great. There will be so much simcha. Just as we say by Purim, Yehudim Oysa Oira V'simcha V'sasan, the light, the geula, the simcha, the joy that the Jewish people experienced with the fall of Sanhedrin was so great, it was as if it was 343 times the light of the sun. An expression of enormous salvation, enormous simcha. That is how the Radak learns Pshat in this passage. So let's go further. Now we are describing the battle. We are describing exactly how the Shmach is going to come and destroy the army of Sancheriv. Hashem's name will come from a distance. And the Shem Hashem, it's a very unique expression that we're referring to Hashem, not by Hashem himself, but by the Shem Hashem. And this refers to the Malach. Hashem sent a Malach, and the Malach came as a representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to destroy the army. Also refers to the fact, we are aware that how did the army of Sancheriv die? Hashem allowed them to hear the Malachim sing Shira. They heard the Malachim sing Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakos, Melech Ol Aretz Kivodo. When the Malachim heard when the army of Sancheriv heard the army sing Shira, their neshamas expired. So the Shem Hashem means they heard the Shem Hashem. They heard the Malachim say Hashem Tzivakos, and that's what caused their neshama to leave their bodies. Bomi Merchot will come from a great distance. Hakadosh will come from heaven. Boy Rapu. Now there are many expressions. Hashem will come in a burning anger. V'choyved Masa'ah, and a heavy burden. is af. His anger is burning. The burden that he carries, his will to bring Churban, is heavy. Sifosov moluzam. His lips are filled with anger. Ulishono, and the lips of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tongue of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is ke'esh olcholis, the all-consuming fire. All these four different expressions describing how Hashem will send the Malachim to destroy the Malach, to destroy the army, and four expressions, boring apo, choyved masa'a, a very heavy burden will be released from HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon the enemy to destroy them. Sifasav moluzam, that's three. Ulishonoi ke'esh olcholis, that's number four. Number pasuk chavches, v'rucho, the spirit of Hashem, the ruach of Hashem will be kanachal shaitef, will be like a river that flows through a stream, a channel, ad tzavor yechetzeh, will cut them in half. Now, what this means, according to the Mitzudos, is that because this pasuk is comparing Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger, his wrath, to a stream, we are aware that when a person goes swimming, person is walking in a body of water, you can walk in water as long as the water is shallow. But once the water gets to your neck, then already you have to think twice if it's kedai for you to continue, because if you go a little more, it may come over your mouth and nose. So being that this pasuk, we're comparing the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a nachal. And a nachal, the cardinal rule is, don't go too deep where it's over your mouth and your nose. At Savar Yechtze, it will come to the neck. The neck is the danger. It will divide the person in half. The water will be below the neck, and the head, of course, is above the neck. Last breath of life. Lahanafa Goyim. And then at that point in time, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to put them in great danger, he will wave them Binofa Shof, in an empty sieve. Now, what does that mean? So this is how the Mitzvah explains. When a person, after he threshes grain, there are two parts, the kernel and the chaff. He takes the mixture and picks it up with a rachas, like we said before, those two tools. The winnowing tool. The winnowing tool is called the rachas. The winnowing tool has holes. Or there is a sieve; it has holes, or there's another type of tool which is a sieve, and you throw it up in the air, and the chaff falls, blown away by the wind, but also it falls through the holes. There is some process of sieving, of sifting grain by lifting it up and letting the psoilus fall through the holes, and what remains in the utensil are the kernels, which are larger, which are more substantial. They do not fall through the holes. That is a normal way of sifting. Very, very simple. But when the nofet, when the sieve is shoved, it's worthless because the holes are too large. Not only does the psoilus, does the waste fall through the holes, but the kernels fall through the holes, the good part of the grain falls through the holes. That is called a nofa shof, a sieve that's not worth anything. The good and the bad fall through the holes. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's going to torch them. He's going to take the enemy, he's going to lift them up in a nofa shof. And it's a horrifying experience to be tossed around. So you would think, at least I'll go through the pain of being tossed around. If the end will be, I will survive. I will remain in the utensil, in the sieve, and the psoilus will fall out. No, not only will the psoilus fall out, the kernel will also fall out. So you'll just go through this horrifying experience being tossed around, and the end will be, you'll also be destroyed. You'll have the same fate as the psoilus. You'll end up in the garbage. So that's how the pasuk describes the punishment, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will toss them around, lahanofas goyim, to toss around the goyim, binofashof, in a sieve of vanity. The holes are too large, everything falls through. Veresen maser, resen is a bridle, an animal is bridled with this harness around his mouth, and the owner of the animal pulls the animal by the bit or by the reins of the harness. So normally when you have a harness, the purpose is to make sure the animal goes to in the proper path. the animal should be guided in a derech hayosha. You don't want the animal to get lost and go off the path and end up in some ditch. Here, the bridle is being put upon the nation of Ashur, Bedavka, to make sure they do end up in the pit, make sure they do fall off the cliff and are destroyed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has delivered the nation of Ashur to the outskirts of Yerushalayim, so that they should die. They should be die right here outside of Yerushalayim. V'resen maseh, a bridle that's only put on the animal to mislead, to misguide the animal, instead of what it's normally put on the animal for, to guide in the proper derech. Al upon l'choye amim, the cheeks of the nation. Pasuk Chavtes, this is a famous pasuk. This miracle will be v'hashir ye lochem. At this point in time, when the miracle occurs, the army of Sennacherib suddenly dies in the middle of the night. The Jewish people will wake up and they will see what happened. They will sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Shir that they will sing will be equivalent to the Shir of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And this is a very fascinating, there's a lot of depth in what this pasuk is teaching us. The fall of Sennacherib occurred on the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the time when the Jewish people were conducting their Seder. At that Chatzos HaLaila, we say this in one of the piyutim, Vahiba Chatzos HaLaila, we reflect upon this, that the miracle of the fall of Sennacherib took place in the night of the Seder. The miracle of Sennacherib was the last Neis Goloi that Klal Yisrael experienced on a large scale in our history. There were other Neisim, of course, Purim, but Purim was a Neis within the framework of Teva. The Neis of Chanukah was the Neis, was also a Neis within the it was a miracle. It was the Mandar Chateva. You have the Ner Chanukah. The Ner Chanukah, that's a different type. We're talking about for the nation of survival against the other nations. Giborim Biad Chaloshim V'ram Biad Me'atim is a different type of miracle. The last major league miracle that occurred for Klal Yisrael on a large scale was the miracle, the death, defeat of Sennacherib. The first major miracle from the beginning of Klal Yisrael was Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's a very strong relationship between the Yom Tov of Pesach and the Tkufa of Chizkiyahu and the miracle of the fall of Sennacherib. And that bond cannot be minimized. That is, it's a very powerful, there's a lot of depth which goes into explaining the beginning and the end. And from there, everything has to fall into place. And in fact, it's very sad because we know this miracle should have been the beginning of Yimos HaMashiach. That's why it was the end. It was the beginning of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The end was full of Sennacherib. We should have ushered in times of Mashiach. Unfortunately, it didn't happen for whatever reason. Here, the pasuk makes it very, very clear. Hashir Yelochem, the song that you will sing or you should sing when this miracle occurs will be to you Kilel, equivalent to the Hallel that the Jewish people sang when they left Mitzrayim. Kilel Hiskadeshcha, like the Hallel that was sung that accompanied the Karban Pesach, the Hallel that you sing the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Simchas Leva, but further, it's even greater. Also, the joy of the heart, Kehalech Bechalil, like a person who goes with a flute, Lovo Behar Hashem El Tzur Yisrael, person who brings Bikurim. When the people would bring Bikurim to Eretz Yisrael, they would be accompanied by an orchestra, by a band, and they would play the flute in front of the people who were bringing the Bikurim in celebration of the mitzvah of bringing Bikurim. It's supposed to stand for the people that bring Bikurim. This week's parasha, Adart B'nei Zaken, and there we learn as an expansion of Adart B'nei Zaken, parasha Kedosh, that he's supposed to stand for a person who is doing a mitzvah. Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. And that's people, they would stand for these people when this ceremony was done, when people would bring Bikurim, they would be accompanied by people, by musical instruments of a chalil. So the joy that the Jewish people will experience at the time of the fall of Sennacherib will be equivalent to the joy of the Neis of Yitzias Mitzrayim, together with the joy of bringing of Bikurim. Now we know that Bikurim is a Shavuos. Yeah. Bikurim is a Shavuos. There is a 50-day gap between Pesach and Shavuos. You cannot bring the two together. I mean, that's the goal. The goal is, your goal is Yitzias Mitzrayim. And then there's a process of preparation to lead and to build up, to prepare us for the ultimate simcha of Shavuos Matan Torah, of when the day that you bring Bikurim. So it's fascinating that here this miracle of the fall of Sancheriv represents both together. You don't need the process of Sfira to prepare you, to bring you, to bridge the gap between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Shavuos. They are synthesized. They have been merged together in one shot. It's an awesome degree of Kiddushin, awesome degree of Simcha that has happened at this point in time, this miracle, the fall of Sancheriv. Again, that's what the Pasuk here says. Hashir Yeluchem, this song shall be to you, Kilel Hiskadish Chag. Number one, it will be equivalent to the song of Halal you sing the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, together with the Simchas Levav, the joy of the heart, Kaholech, like those that would travel Becholil, accompanied by the flutes, Lovo to come Behar Hashem El Tzur Yisrael, to the rock of Yisrael, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now it could be, it's something that's interesting, it could be over here that the Pasuk is teaching us indirectly is the difference, the exact difference between Pesach and Shavuos. Pesach, it doesn't say Simcha. It doesn't say Simcha by Pesach. It says Simcha by Shavuos once. It says by Sukkot Simcha twice. Pesach is a process. Pesach doesn't say Simcha at all. When we learn one from the other, V'samachta b'chagecha, that's a general reference for all the Mo'adim. But specifically, look at the Pesach in Pesach, there's no explicit mention of Simcha. Shavuos once, and Sukkot twice. But here, the Pasuk is mentioning the Maila of Pesach is Shir, to give Shira. The Maila of Shavuos is Simcha. To combine Shira with Simcha is unique. Because Shavuos, we don't have Shira. On Shavuos, we have Simcha. There is no Shira Shavuos. Shira is Miyuchad for Pesach. But this event combines Shira with Simcha. Also, this part also indicates that this was really meant to be the time of Mashiach, because it says Shir. We know that whenever it says, sometimes it says Shir, sometimes it says Shira. When it's feminine, in feminine form, that means that it's a song in this world before the time of Mashiach. Because just like a woman who gives birth, a female, it is hopefully will be accompanied by another child, and the tsar chevle leida, the joy of giving birth, is just a temporary relief from tsar. She knows in the back of her mind that she'll hopefully have more children, and with more children comes more tsar, more chevle leida. So it's a reduced degree of song. But shir b'loshem zohar is a song like a male where there is nothing more to come. So whenever it says shir, it refers to the song that will be sung at the end of days. Whenever it says shir, it refers to a salvation that occurs in Golus. So here it says shir. Why? Because again, it was said many times, this event was meant to be the beginning of Yemos HaMashiach. And the song that they should have sang when Sancheriv fell would have been the song of Yemos HaMashiach. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. So we are still in the level today of shira. Okay, but this is a very powerful idea of bringing together the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim to the last great miracle in the history of Klal Yisrael, the fall of Sancheriv, and this simcha, this pasuk makes it very clear that relationship, and goes even further to say that the significance and the simcha of Sancheriv is also related to the Yom Tov of Shavuos together. Okay, we'll stop here, pasuk Lamed.